Really, this becomes a matter of personal taste. I love the hadith, and may Allah make us all among those who love it. So if you study fiqh, that's also beautiful. I remember that the dean of the faculty of fiqh in Azhar got me into his office, and he said, you must study fiqh. Because initially I went into fiqh, but I said, Ya Sidi, I want to study hadith. He said, now they're coming up with all these CDs and all these things. What kind of, you know, muhaddith you're going to be? It doesn't matter. They have it. Everybody can have the CDs. There's no need for hadith. He's trying to get me because he said, I know you live in the West and the West needs fiqh. Because we have no fiqh in the West. But it becomes a matter of personal taste. So I went into hadith because that's my passion. So it's a matter of passion. And everything is good. When I say better, I don't mean the other is worse. Be careful. Better, that doesn't mean the other is worse. Better and they're all good. Sallallahu ala Rasulullah wa alayhi. What is a Wahhabi? Is this a sect? Everybody calls themselves whatever they want. I call myself Muslim. So is this a sect or not a sect? Those who wish to make it a sect, they make it a sect. You can wish to make anything a sect. But the best thing is to be the sect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are from the group of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's our group. My group's name is Al-Quran wa Sunnah. I don't know if I can make it any clear. This is our Muslim. So we try to, whoever the group is, let's go, let's unite, not divide. Unite on the book and Sunnah. Unite on the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's empty our hearts from all hatred towards and all narrow-mindedness towards anybody. As long as we all agree on the book and Sunnah, let's come and agree. Let's have our proofs. Let's see what the book and let's see what the authentic Sunnah says. And we want to be inclusive. Remember, how can we show our love and mercy? How can we be merciful on the kuffar and the non-Muslims and we're not even merciful amongst ourselves? You cannot give something you don't have. If you don't have $10, can you give somebody $10? You don't have it. We have to be merciful with the non-Muslims. How come? Then we cannot be merciful with each other. We have to be merciful with each other. We have to build bridges, not burn bridges. And we have to stop using our tongue to call people names and labels. It doesn't matter what they are. Everybody, we try to strike the good points in people. That we are trying to go back to the basics, to the book of Allah, to the authentic of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the way and on the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that's as simple as that. I think everybody should at least agree with these basics. And then we solve. You say, why should I follow this, not follow this? And where is the hadith stronger? Is the hadith stronger with Imam Shafi'i or with Wahhabis or whatever it is? I mean, you want to call them Tahriris, anything. I think all these subgroupings is what really made. We're trying to break things down, and we don't want to always label people and classify them. What are you? Where do you belong? I think this is, of course, it's unfortunate and it's very sad. When we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an said, Huwa sammakum, He named you Muslims. In the Qur'an. Okay? And then that's not enough for them. They want, why? What kind of Muslim? Allah is called Muslim, and Muslim is Muslim. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in hadith sahih, and that is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, by way of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, said, I was ordered to fight people until they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Once they say it, that's it. I have no business with them. Except what it obligates me to do. But now we want to, that's labeling and subgrouping, of course, it really is, it's tearing the nation, tearing the ummah. And everybody wants to make his own group, and every group thinks he's right and everybody else is wrong. This is how it is. Well, it's time for us to go back to basics, dear brothers and sisters. It's time for us to stop arguing about who said what, and to go and spend our time with the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not saying that we agree with everybody, no. Our standard is the book and sunnah, and we do not compromise on that. There's zero compromise. When the Prophet says something, this is what we follow. Simple as that. So we don't compromise with what parties. Somebody says, I'm not in any party, at my own personal philosophy. I am not in any association or organization. I believe in the book of Allah and this authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's what I live to propagate. Anything other than that, I don't go into the these things. It is the celebration of the Prophet's birthday. But this is a fiqh issue, and we talk about that some other time. Ask me about that the last day, not now. I read a lot about Ibn Taymiyyah's books, and some people tell me he is dodgy. Is this something like that? I'm not very familiar with the English slang. Can you tell me if that's true? Every person in this world can make mistakes, and every person has said good things. If I tell you that everything that Ibn Taymiyyah said from A to Z is wrong, this would be a lie, because he had said many things that are read, put the Quran. And if I tell you everything he said is right, I would also be lying. So, what is our standard? The Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah. Ibn Taymiyyah is not our standard. Are we supposed to be following Ibn Taymiyyah? No, we're supposed to be following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means basically, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The Prophet is your role model. Nobody else is my role model. So, you read a lot. Of course, there's many things that are true, and many things are not true. And everybody makes mistakes. And it is not our job to... We're not a jury and a judge here. Put him, crucify him. I need to worry about my own deen. I need to worry, how can I better myself? How can I learn more about Allah? I don't care about all these little things. Once you become so knowledgeable in all these sects and the difference between them, then you need to study these things, sure. But right now, do we know the difference between the fara'id of wudu and the nawaqid and the invalidators of wudu and the sunan of wudu and the wajibat of wudu and the mustahab of wudu? Do we know the difference between them? Once we know that, we can talk about all these things. But we want to go into immediately subgrouping and labeling and partying and dividing. Subhanallah, it's time for us to take it easy. And imagine if Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was here. Tell him, oh, before I do, I need to know what this man says. Come here. So, we don't believe in the isma. We don't believe in the perfection of anybody. And the imams of Ahl Sunnah are known. Yani the scholars of Ahl Sunnah are known. Yani you have Abu Hanifa, wa Shafi'i, wa Malik, wa Ahmad, wa Nawawi, wa Ibn Hajar. And all these are scholars of Ahl Sunnah. And always go to the things that are not doubtful, and leave the people that are doubtful. You always go to the people that are not doubtful, that have no, there's no cast of doubt on them. And you go to the people that have no, there's no doubt about them. Or at least, it's not comparable to that. So, we have clear manhaj from our imams. I mean by imams, I don't mean we blindly imitate them. I mean they're our scholars. By our scholars, like Abu Hanifa, wa Shafi'i, wa Malik, wa Ahmad, we have enough examples, and we have all these things explained, alhamdulillah. And they did the best they could, and we appreciate that, and we carry that. And it's still available among us, and we don't need anybody else to come and tell us this is right. I mean, it's right there. So, in other words, there's enough examples. Ahl Sunnah's tradition is long, and it's very solid, and it's very deep, and it's available. And that should be enough. But I'm not going to go into character assassination of anybody. So if you want to try to get me to do that, I won't. In a sense of knowledge, if you want somebody who's knowledgeable, inshallah, and may Allah make you all scholars, and you want to study the books of certain people, of course we can go and study the books, and we can point out where the errors, and we can point out, because this is our obligation. But in the sense of, we were trying to say, you know, classify people on their based on their opinions and all these things, I think these things are silly stuff. We need to rise above that. We need to worry about where we're going to go. Don't worry about everybody that passed away. Allah will take care of them. How do you refute an atheist? In the next 2 days, inshallah, if you are with us, you will know how to, you'll be able to refute an atheist. It's very simple. Can he write, Ya Muhammad, and hang it on a wall? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a fiqh issue, and we'll ask me about it at the end on Friday, along with the birthday of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And this is like a newspaper. You said the prophets, please make your questions very simple, not because of that, because we have so many and we try to, if you make your questions like a page, then you will take other people's times. You said the prophets reached perfection. What about the prophets, what about all prophets, why do you make unlawful what Allah has made lawful? Okay, seeking to please your wives. Okay. I said that the prophets salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim, have ismah. Ismah. Ismah means safeguard, protection. Protection from making sins, grave sins, and sins that invalidate the call. That's what ismah is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Ali Imran, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And Allah will safeguard you and protect you, give you this ismah. And therefore, this ismah necessitates, if the Prophet was to do something good, but there is something better, to do something lawful, but there is something better than that, then Allah would guide him immediately and will do the best thing that Allah wants. That is the safeguard. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that same verse that you wrote, whoever wrote this, I will bring you the other verse of the Quran that says, مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Everything is not by desire, by his own mind. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٍ. Everything is wahi. So that's what. What about man? Musa killed a man? All these sins, if you want to say it's sins, if you want to say it is not doing the best that the Prophet should have done, it is corrected immediately. In other words, when something happens like that, then it is corrected immediately. That is, if you say this is a mistake, then that mistake is immediately corrected due to this safeguard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophets. So these things, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll give you more verses so you can argue even better. وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Which in the Quran, which means that Adam deviated from the orders of his Lord. Okay, so this is even stronger than these two ayahs that you put. So you just saw, you know. And basically, this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned him to do the best, the better, and he did the less better. That's also with the will of Allah for him to do so. And therefore, inshallah, these mistakes that are done are corrected immediately, so people do not follow them, because the Prophets are role models and people follow them. And if they are wrong, assumingly, and they cannot be, then people will follow the wrong. That defeats the purpose of a messenger, following the wrong things. And therefore, that's their safeguard, that there's a wahi, and this wahi, inshallah, tells them if there's something wrong. Inshallah, may Allah bless you. There's nothing. The second question, the Prophet ﷺ knew everything. Is the knowledge of everything a unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that belongs to him alone? The Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me say this. As you all know, read it in Surah Al-Kursi. Surah Al-Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. Or Surah Al-Kursi or Ayat Al-Kursi? Ayat Al-Kursi. Ayat Al-Kursi, right? Not Surah Al-Kursi. Where is Ayat Al-Kursi? In which surah? Al-Baqarah. طيب. آيات الكرسي الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات ما في الأرض وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ويؤوده حفظه ما لا ولا يص من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا If you're asking me this question, I will give you Surah Al-Kursi. They will not know anything except what he tells them. If Allah picks any wants wills for any slave to know everything or to know something, Allah can give him whatever. So there's no, you cannot say what is the percentage, because we don't know. So don't try to, in other words, try to say we have put words in the mouth and say, does he know? Allah says his لا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. If he wills, then they will know. And they will know things in partial, in whole, whatever it is, Allah knows best, I don't know. But if you're saying that the Prophet can have an attribute of Allah, it's impossible for any creation to have an attribute of Allah. Allah is attributed with the knowledge, Al-Alim. All-knowing. And all-knowing, this attribute is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is an attribute not acquired. We will talk tomorrow about the attributes of Allah. Attribute of Allah not acquired, not subject to change. But a human being, if he gets any knowledge, it is acquired and it's subject to change, and it has a beginning, and it has an end, and all these things are not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to those. So there's a difference. And you will know that in Tawheed. Once you say Tawheed, inshaAllah, with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your heart and mind, inshaAllah ta'ala, and us. You spoke of Tawheed, and Allah has attributes unique to Him. Why can then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said, can also hear as us regardless of where we are? Please clarify this in simple language. I didn't say anything that indicates what you said. I will tell you this. I don't know where you said, because I never said what you just said. That I didn't say that the Prophet ﷺ hears us everywhere we are. But this is what I said. I said every time you say salah and salam on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will reply back to you with your name, because there's a hadith in that. It's not my words, it's his words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anyone, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, if you make salah and salam on me, Allah will have an angel appointed that tells me who is making salah and salam on me, and I will reply to him with his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's it's not me. It's him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This needs a sip of tea. Sallu ala Rasulullah. I think these people are trying to feed me so much, so I can't do anything. Because we ate so much before, and now we're going to also head for another evening. I mean, this is why, you know, they say the scholars have big bellies now, because that's all they do, they're eating. We're supposed to be thinking, not eating, you know.
It helps
the peace. Allahumma salli ala Rasulullah. May Allah forgive us for all these things. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Initially you said that, initially that means I changed. So I beg to differ. But initially you said that Tawheed is three things. The third category is believing that there are attributes that Allah may be associated with, attributed with, I don't want to say associated with. Please give an example of this. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the name Al-Hannan, Al-Mannan, Al-Qadim. These names are not names of that came in the names of perfections that the hadith mentions. But the scholar says these names may be attributed with them, which means the eternal, which is actually synonymous with huwa al-awwal, the eternal. So we will talk about that. That's the third category. Really it falls in the category of Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be attributed with. I don't say there are three categories. Remember, we don't have categories of Tawheed. Tawheed is one thing. But these are two things that Tawheed emphasizes on. Tawheed does not have subdivisions and things. It's one thing. La ilaha illallah. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is okay to think about the beautiful creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one is praying, by beautiful I mean trees, oceans, mountains, etc. Not humans. Why? Humans are beautiful too. It also depends, right? Some people are not so beautiful. May Allah help us. We want to be only Allah around beautiful people. May Allah make you all beautiful. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa sallam. In your prayer, instead of thinking about the creation, try to think about the Creator. And I don't mean thinking about Him, the Creator, but think about His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and interact with the Qur'an. Because you're not reciting the Qur'an as a recorder. You're reciting these are the book, this is the book of Allah. You want to interact with these words. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When you say Bismillah, you know every time you read the Fatiha, this Fatiha, this moves mountains, al-Fatiha. Wallahi, if you read the Fatiha and the mountain moves in front of you, don't wonder. This is the book of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You know Safina? Do you know Safina or you don't know Safina? Safina is the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Safina, means ship. It's a nice name. Safina is someone that carries. Safina, the Imam Tirmidhi narrates, the Hadith Hassan, said that Safina one time went on a trip with some of the Sahaba. Look, as a servant, he's a king now. Of course, Anyone who serves the Prophet for one day becomes what? Scholar with no depth. Subhanallah. An ocean of knowledge. He said, we went on an island, Safina is saying, radiallahu anhu, and I have my people, and then all the Sahaba with me, all my companions were got scared. They saw lions, and they saw all these things, and they saw animals, and they figured they're going to eat them. So Safina said, wait, don't worry. Come with me. They came with him. First, they saw the lion. Assalamu alaikum. To the lion, he's talking to the lion. Assalamu alaikum. The lion, what is assalamu alaikum? Ah. Huh? He said, here's my ID card. Ana Safina Mawla Rasulullah. I am the Safina, the servant of Rasulullah. Yes, sir. So, the Safina. If that Safina was like that, how about Abu Bakr? If Safina, who was serving the Prophet for a couple of years, had Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who spent all his life with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, assalamu alayka ya Abu Layth. Abu Layth, where is Abu Layth? Abu Layth is the name for the Asad, for the lion. Yeah, Abu Layth is ready to jump on him. But they said, wait a minute, you're not going anywhere. I am Safina. You don't know who I am? Safina, I'm the servant of Rasulullah. I'm coming through. You come through. Clearance. So instead of thinking about how beautiful the trees are, I think they are very beautiful though, and how beautiful the oceans are, the mountains, I think, you know, thinking is always good. There is a hadith, even though there is weak hadith. It says, تَفَكُّرُ سَاعَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ سَنَةٍ. تَفَكُّرْ of سَاعَ, 1 hour of thinking about how perfect these trees are, because these things should lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's two kinds of people, I always say. Two kinds of people. One man, you go out now to outside and look at the sky and you look at the stars. And one says, subhanAllah, today is nice weather. Another man looks at the skies and see all these stars and he says, subhanAllah, Allah is the creator. Two different looks. You look at the weather, some people look at beyond that. So that's kind of ta'ammul, where it is better than 1 year of worship, nawafil. Not so you say, well, I look at the sky for 1 hour and then I will not pray for 2 years now. No, this is for the things that are not fard. The fard you have to do no matter what happens. Even if you go to the moon, you do the fard. Then you have to look for the qibla in the moon. That now we can fight about that when we get there. I know there's a fight coming. Because we have to be different, you know. اختلاف, like I said, this hadith موضوع اختلاف أمتي رحمة. There's no اختلاف, and اختلاف is not رحمة. May Allah make it easy. Following the book and sunnah is رحمة. Not making, being different in the book and sunnah is رحمة. InshaAllah. Islam came to give people life. Islam came to give people hope. Let me correct you. Why are women oppressed in the Muslim world? I don't know. Allah Ta'ala, why men are oppressed actually in the Muslim world too? Allah Ta'ala gave women rights. Why do men take them away? E.G., the Taliban. You know, number one, I'm not a spokesman for the Taliban. So, nor do I represent them in any way, shape, or form. So, I cannot speak for them. And our standard is not what people do, no matter what group they are. I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is that our standard is the book and sunnah. And why are women oppressed? Because women themselves are not seeking to educate themselves. Because men and women are equally ignorant in our Muslim society. Unfortunately, but this is the fact. This is the bitter fact. Men are and women are equally ignorant. And maybe if we start educating the new generation and educating ourselves and rising to the level of Islam, not trying to bring Islam down to our level, rising to the level of Islam, maybe then we can implant some hope in the new generation. But Islam gives women and men every single right. Not only men and women, everything. Islam has rights for animals. Islam has rights for plants. Islam has rights for things. Islam is mercy for everything, let alone women or other things. So if they are oppressed, they are oppressed due to their ignorance and the ignorance of the society around them. And Islam should not be blamed for this. It's not the fault of Islam. It's the fault of people who try to say we represent Islam. Like I said in the beginning, We all call ourselves Ahlul Sunnah, inshallah we are. But how many of the Sunnahs do we do? That is the question. Do we follow the Sunnah? That is the question. It's easy to call ourselves names. And that's what people want to always, grouping. What are you? قال الله, قال رسول الله, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Imagine at the time of Sayyidina Umar, someone says, what do you do? He says, come here and whip them all. He says, قال الله وقال رسول الله. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, look in this hadith. And look how strong this Ibn Abbas, حبر الأمة. He said, يا قوم, أقول قال الله وقال رسول الله وتقولون قال أبو بكر وقال عمر. Meaning of the hadith, he says, what is wrong with you talking to the Sahaba? I am telling you, Allah said, قال الله, قال رسول الله, and you're telling me Abu Bakr said this and Umar said this? What is wrong with you? When you say, قال الله, قال رسول الله, that's it. Nobody else has who, no matter how he is. So, may Allah give us tawfiq to understand the deen. Do you have to follow one madhab or can you follow all four? Wallahi, if you can follow all four, may Allah bless you. That means you have so much knowledge. So I encourage you to get knowledge in all four, not all four, all everything that is there. And the more you know, the better. May Allah make all of you scholars in not only knowing all four madhab, knowing all everything that exists. It's beautiful. So the more you know, the more you practice. No problem. We have no problem. You want to be a mujtahid? Go ahead. Learn. The knowledge is in front of you. More you know, inshallah, we will all follow that. You got us to the truth and we follow you. Have no problem. Inshallah. If you go to any group, they all claim they are only following the Quran and Sunnah. How do you know if they are right? That's a very beautiful question. And the answer is simple. You have the Quran in front of you. And the Sahih of the Sunnah is also available to everybody. Acquire a copy of Bukhari and acquire a copy of Muslim. And you have the Quran. And if they say, we're following the book and Sunnah, say, where is this in book and Sunnah? Right here, show me. Research on your own. This is your deen. Don't depend on me telling you. I'm telling you this now. Go research it. He said, the hadith, this, where is this hadith? Let me look on Bukhari and Muslim. See? This is your deen. Don't entrust it to anybody. You, every single one of you will go to either Jannah or Nar. May Allah take you all to Jannah. But I mean, don't give your future to anybody. This is your own future. So if anybody claims, it's very easy to substantiate and it's easy to verify. And it is your job to verify. What is the meaning of life? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
Today.
I think this needs a book. What is the meaning of life? If I knew the meaning of life, I probably wouldn't be here today. Allah knows best, but may Allah take us out of this life. And we have done all good. Okay. So that's the meaning of life. Was the nur of the Prophet ﷺ created first? What does it mean? The hadith that is narrated by Jabir it's not a correct hadith per se. It's not an authentic hadith that is in Bukhari and Muslim or any other narration per se. But we believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a nur. The nur meaning of nur, it doesn't mean like lights and photons. I don't want you to think that. Nur means the guide. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That he guides, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guide, because this is Nur al-Hidayah. You read Nur al-Idah, right? For Fiqh Hanafi Fiqh? This is the Nur. So it guides you to قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. So this, inshaAllah ta'ala. Not photons and lights like that. That's not the light that's, or the Nur that we understand. Tayyib. If you're from America, what inspired you to become a Muslim? Who?
Last question.
That's a. Allah, Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Well, let me say what inspired me to become a Muslim is my conviction in Islam. And I have been a Muslim since I was born, I think. Alhamdulillah. And my family is Muslim. And I come from an old Muslim family. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib, any other questions? There are no questions, so inshallah we make dua. Yeah, is the question? Okay. That's fine. We will accommodate that. Since somebody is wondering whether I'm a Muslim or not. Or, I mean, what made me become a Muslim? Inshallah, if you study with us the Tawheed, you will know why everybody should be a Muslim. Very simple. Can you join your salah together each asr if you have an emergency? Depending what fiqh are you following? And if you're a musafir or not musafir, and that is basically different depending on the scholar you have. You should ask your local scholars, because as you know, in fiqh, I am more Shafi'i and Maliki, so you have your local scholars, inshallah, in fiqh, and you ask them about these things. If you have interest, because usually when you are around, you live in an area, so you know the proofs and the evidence and the substances that your local scholars give you, and inshallah, you verify that. I'm not saying you follow them blindly, like you should not follow anybody blindly, but inshallah, then you follow that with the proofs, and then you go on. So you have someone who's teaching you all the time, because you need maintenance. I come here and tell you one thing, and then I disappear for a lifetime, maybe, who knows. So that's not right. Tayyib. If you have interest in your bank account, can you give it to the poor and needy? You should not have interest in your bank account. Is selling alcohol allowed? Not even getting close to alcohol. Not selling it, not even getting close to it. Not even coming close to it, not even seeing it. What is Milad? And we said that, we will answer that at the last day. Because this is a fiqh issue, it's not an aqidah issue. But inshallah, I will, even though, because it seems like we need to always subtype and label right away. Because where does he stand on this? Where does he stand on this? And I think you should know your tawheed first. Can you practice two fiqh, e.g. Shafi'i and Hanafi at once? You have to practice what is more sound to you. What is more solid. You have to look, it's not, in other words, you have to search what is more substantiated. And Hanafi and Shafi'i radiallahu anhum, both, they looked for what is best, what they saw, the strongest evidence. Both of them. And they saw this and do different things. So, inshallah, you acquire the knowledge to seek which proofs are best. And then you follow the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because everybody needs to follow the hadith of the Prophet. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa alihi. Is it permissible for humans to contact jinn? Allahu Akbar. At the end of the night now? Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Quran? Maybe the one who asked that is thinking the dinosaurs are jinns or something. But remember, dinosaurs, they are eliminated already, right? According to geologists, 165 million years ago. Of course, I think this is a lie. But anyway, is it permissible for humans to contact the jinns? According to Imam Shafi'i, it is not permissible. It is not permissible to contact them. Actually, Imam Shafi'i goes further than that, saying he who contacts a jinn, even for good reasons, or whatever reasons, not evil reasons per se, loses his status of just, of being just, can never become a material witness in a court, in an Islamic court. So, inshallah, can we worry about contacting humans first? Let's contact humans, try to make good relations with humans, then we worry about the jinn, inshallah, later on. Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Quran? Not that I know of, no. Is smoking cigarettes allowed? I do not see it permissible. And Allah knows best. What is a Shalafi? Or Salafi? Salafi, I think if you mean Salafi, what is a Salafi? I take it from the linguistic part of view, that those people who follow the Salaf, which means they follow the pious predecessors And all Muslims do. So by definition, all Muslims are Salafis. We're all Salafis. Yani Imam Abu Hanifa is from the Khalaf, from the ones that came after, or they came Salaf. He's from the Salaf. Salaf are the first 300 years. So Imam Abu Hanifa from the Salaf. So if you follow Abu Hanifa, then you follow Salaf. Then you're also Salafi. Okay? And so what is a Salafi? I think Salafi is actually in the Quran. So just so I can tell you. In the Quran, Salaf came only in a couple of ayahs. One mentioned about the people of Fir'aun. They were Salaf. فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. Then Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ سَلَفًا. When they disappointed us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people of Fir'aun, when they became kuffar and disappointed us, we took revenge from them and we made them Salaf. Meaning we made them a history. Salaf means what passed history. So we're all Muslims. Is buying products that contribute to the killing of Muslims okay? I don't know where you got this from. You cannot contribute to killing anybody. Anybody. Not Muslims only. You cannot contribute to killing anybody. Why would you cannot kill people? Is this your job to kill people? Muslims' job is to give life and hope to people, not to kill people. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة ترضيك وترضيه وترضى بها عنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح بسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما أغلق علينا وعطف علينا قلبه الشريف صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. اللهم إنا نتوجه إليك ونتوسل إليك بحبيبك ونبيك محمد نبي الرحمة. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله. إن شاء الله we will see you tomorrow.